Today on Jesse Duplantis Ministries.
He had a duty to be holy, and yet he was tempted in all mannerisms as we were. Now you think about that. See, a lot of people just read that. No, do you understand what that means? That means that Jesus was tempted to sin. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, I want to talk about four ways to imitate God. You've heard me say this many times. The only Jesus some people may ever see is the Jesus in you or the Jesus in me. Think about that for a minute. That is a very phenomenal statement. It's simple, it's profound though. Because you see, you are Christ. You should be a DVD, a CD, a VHS video, call it what you want, you know, or a movie of who God is. Because you see Christ in you, not on you, not around you or about you, even though that's true, but Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I know it happens all the time, but I struggle with all the ministries that mess up and they don't realize they're going to get judged. It's going to happen. You know, the Bible said your sin will find you out and things of that nature. But how can you do those things to me when I'm going to just be blunt. When a pastor messes up with another woman and does something, he betrays you. As well as betraying maybe his wife and family. And I don't know how they do it. I mean, I know how they do it, but I don't know how they do it. When you got Christ in you. I mean, what you tell God to do? Can you go outside for a while? Does that make any sense to anybody? But to me, it's a betrayal. Not only is it adultery and things of that nature, but it's a betrayal. And yet, because you're supposed to be an example of who Christ is. You see what I'm trying to say? And when you understand that, you know, you'll walk in that anointing and in that power. I quote this scripture all the time in Ephesians 5, verse 1. It says, be you therefore followers. The word follow this means imitators. Be you therefore imitators of God as dear children. Look at me. You can't imitate God if you lose your childlike qualities. Write that down. That's not a point, but you ought to write that down. You cannot imitate God if you lose your childlike qualities. Children are born believers until you teach them the doubt. Think about that. They have no doubt because they just simply believe to it. Unless you start lying to them, then they realize you're a liar. Are you hearing what I'm saying about that? So when you understand that, let me read that again. That's a very important point there. Be ye therefore imitators of God as dear children and walk in love. As Christ also, verse 2, hath loved us and hath given himself, notice all the word hath, it's all past tense, for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. In other words, you ought to smell good. You ever been around somebody smell bad? Hold your hand up if you ever done that. I have. Boy, don't you just want to kind of get away from you? Go, see you later. Have a good day. You know, that kind of stuff. But when you know, but you, if you're an imitator of God, you ought to have a fragrance of God on you, flowing in you and around you that people can smell the God that's in you because of who he is. So there's four ways to imitate God. He said, let me read verse 1 again. Be you therefore imitators of God as dear children. Number one, who is God? He is holy. How do you imitate God? You imitate him with holiness. Then you imitate him with wisdom. Then you imitate him with power. Then you imitate him with love. Four ways to imitate God: holiness, wisdom, power, and love. Those four come together and make a unit, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, the most amazing part about God, for God so loved, we know he's love, is that he's holy. The Bible says, be ye holy, for I am holy. And yet so many people say, well, I don't know if I can be like God. God says you can. He gave you the ability to be ye holy, even as he is holy. Let's talk about holiness for a minute. Now, the reason why God, the God of Israel, was so known by other gods or other peoples was that simple thing called holiness. Write this down if you're taking notes. The God of Israel was distinguished from all other gods by this essential element. In other words, he was holy. And holiness is a wonderful thing, because it doesn't hurt anybody's feelings in any way, shape, or form. In other words, it's beyond human reasoning to understand it, yet you have the ability to walk in holiness. That's what distinguished the God of Israel from the God of the Philistines, who was Dagon, and all the other gods did all kind of sexual stuff, killed babies, did everything you could think of, but not God. God was holy. And he told Moses, take your shoes off your feet. because the ground you're standing on is holy. Wherever God passes over becomes holy until you stain it with sin. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That was a distinguishing fact, and his people must be holy in every area. So don't give me this hogwash, I couldn't help myself. Yeah, you could. Yeah, you could, you could. But see, your problem is you would not dial into your holiness. You contaminated the ground that God walked on. You see what I'm saying? Holiness. Let me say it again. The God of Israel was distinguished from all other gods by this essential element. Now, what does holiness do? What happens when you become holy and imitating God? Holiness, write it down, affects duty. Your duty becomes a holy thing. Holiness affects duty. It affects your conduct. It affects your aim, and it affects your ambition. You can have holy ambition. Let me say it again. Holiness affects duty. Not my will, but thine be done. You hear Jesus saying that all the time. I came that you might know the Father. He had a duty to be holy. And yet he was tempted in all mannerisms as we were. Now you think about that. See, a lot of people just read that. No, do you understand what that means? That means that Jesus was tempted to sin. Jesus was tempted by a woman. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Let me shock you. This is going to really blow your socks off. He was also tempted by a man, because some men are tempted by men, yet without sin. Now, I don't know why people take heterosexual sin and homosexual sin and make it different when it isn't. It's just flat sin. And it's disgusting in the eyes of God Almighty. What makes it disgusting? Because it's not holy. You see what I'm saying? So holiness affects duty. Then holiness affects conduct. You don't let a bad conversation come out of your mouth. Everything you do is a holy thing, just to be a blessing. When you give a tip to an individual who's worked real hard, that's a holy thing. I did that yesterday. I finally went to, I hadn't been to P.F. Chang's in a while, and I kind of like that Chinese food, you know. So I went and I had a, I guess he was a Chinese, a waiter or whatever. And when he finished like that, you know, I said, here's your bill, and I gave him some money. He goes, oh, are you sure? And I thought, why would, most people say, are you sure? And I love saying, well, that's just too much. I said, well, give it back. they don't give it. They go, In other words, all I'm doing is not paying for his services. I'm honoring him or her, whoever it may be, with a holy thing. See, because when he doesn't understand, my money is holy. And it'll create holiness in his pocket. He may not realize that, but it will happen. So holiness affects duty. It affects conduct. And it affects aim. See, when you're holy, you know where to go. You know what to do. When, where, and how to do it. You know your aim. And I've said this so many times. If you don't know where you're going, you're not going to know when you get there. You'd be surprised how many Christian people don't know where they're going. I call them church hopping people. They just don't know where they're going. They're looking for a good choir. Well, they got good choirs everywhere. Or they, I like that person. It has nothing to do whether you like the preacher or like the choir. It's where God sends you. It's where God tells you to be, where he plants you, and that you be submitted to that authority. I'm not talking about becoming a slave, because that's not a holy thing. But to understand where you can learn. I said this last Sunday about the tongue of the learned. Everything you say must be learned, not memorized. You see, and that's what's happening to Christians. They memorized a lot of stuff, but they hadn't learned anything. So that's why they can't stop sinning, because they hadn't learned how to, not to sin. They hadn't learned how to work the holiness. So let me say it again. Holiness affects duty, and I love that statement. It affects conduct. It affects aim. And then it affects ambition. The reason why I built Jesse the Planter's ministry was because of holiness. Not so anybody could know who I am. I'm not interested in any of that kind of silliness. I never wanted to be famous. I wanted to make money. My reason for playing music was not to be famous, was to make money, you know, because I was raised very poor in South Louisiana. And my daddy said, boy, just go in the oil field. And there's nothing wrong with the oil field. I mean, it's a great profession. A lot of people are in there. I said, no, daddy, I'm going to do this. You know, well, you're not going to make it. And I just looked at him and I didn't tell him that. I said, you have never made it in your life. That's what I was thinking, you know. But I didn't say that, you know. You know, it's my dad, you know, that kind of stuff. But because he didn't know how to walk by faith. He walked by fear most of his life. But thank God he got born again and began to walk in faith. You see, so it brought an ambition in me. After I got born again, I said, well, you know, I'll go to church and I'll be a good church goer and things of that nature. But I knew God was leading me and directing me in things. And really, I didn't really want to do that. I had traveled most of my adult life to then. In fact, I've traveled all my adult life, except for maybe 3.5 years of my life. You see, in terms of as an adult, you know what I'm saying? Just traveling, you know, and I'm a born traveler. I'm like a horse. I can sleep with one leg up. I mean, it's amazing how fast I can grab a nap, just do it, because that's what I do. And when you understand it, but it produced an ambition to go in the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, what I didn't understand was I didn't want partners. I wasn't asking anybody to give to my ministry. I said, Lord, if you bless me, I used to say, if you bless me, and I know you will, I'll pay for everything. I don't mind. I've always been generous. Even Kathy told me that when I was a sinner, I was a very generous man. That's a generous boy, because I didn't have nothing. So I like giving, because I finally had a little bit to give, and that was just a blessing of God, you know. Say, but I mean, I realized something. I said, Lord, and the Lord said, you know, Jesse, when I came, I picked 12 guys myself. And I thought, well, I never thought of it like that, you know. And he sent me partners. And today I have some of the most phenomenal partners who give them my ministry. Yet I don't control my partners as a master to a slave. And let me explain that. I have a lot of ministries that have told me now, when a person becomes your partner, you tell them not to give to no other ministry. You tell them not to do anything like that. I will not do that. I mean, who do you think you are? You don't control people. You see, that 2 Corinthians 9 says, he was so sparingly, should reap also sparingly. He was so bountifully, should reap also bountifully. Every man according to his purpose, prayed, perceived, and power, so let him give, not grudging, nor necessity, for God loveth the cheerful giver. This is the verse I want to get to. And God is able to make all grace abound toward who? You, that you always having all sufficiency in what? All things. Watch this. That you may abound to every good work. So I tell those guys, what makes you think they can't give to someone else? What makes you think God wouldn't tell them to do that? Yeah, but you're going to lose money. And I don't lose. I'm not attached to a loser. I'm attached to a winner, or to a creator. You see what I'm saying? That's God Almighty. So, I mean, I don't, but yet, boy, it's out there, it's like a master-slave situation, and it shouldn't be. Or like, you don't visit no other church. What they're afraid of is that you might like it and not come back. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching. See, that's not holiness. That's control. I really believe God guides you. Now, I really believe this is a good church, and I want you to be a part of it 100%. That's not the issue. See what I'm saying? But I mean, and you know, you may differ with me. I wouldn't care if somebody built a church across the street. I'd like to have a whole line of churches all over Armand. That way you saw church. You know, I mean, that doesn't bother. At least somebody going, thank God, you know. But I think this church, and I honestly believe this with every, and I'm going to say it now, and I'm going to get some hell over this, but I'm going to say it anyway. This church in the city of New Orleans, which is a suburb, Destrehan, really believes the covenant. I don't know about all these other churches. We believe the word of the living God. We don't go to the left. We don't go to the right. We stay dead center. We know our lane. That's why he said, I put on that scripture, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that goes out of my lips. That means I will not break this covenant. That's imitating God by being holy. So holiness affects duty, write that down, conduct, aim, and ambition. Now watch this. We write this down. We must become a holy and hallowing society. How do we do that? By studying his life and actions. See, when you study his word, you learn to follow him. When you follow his word, you remember what you studied. Let me say it again. We must become a holy and hallowing society by studying his life and actions. See, I mean, I've studied Jesus Christ. The reason why I've never had a financial deficit, Glenn, was not because I got more faith than you. A lot of people think that. I don't. Thank you for thinking that, but no. Because he never had a financial deficit. When I saw that, I thought, well, Ephesians 5:1 said I should imitate that. Now, I'm going to have to walk like he walks, talk like he talks, become like he's become. Not be conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Get ready for persecution, because the holier you are, the more they hate you. Now, some people think holiness is how you look. You used to call it clothesline preaching. And everything was against a woman. It wasn't much against a man could wear the top fashion of the day, but not a woman. She had to have a flower sack dress on so she'd be holy with hair on her legs and all kinds of crazy stuff. Couldn't wear no makeup. I'm talking ugly people. I mean, just ugly people, you know what I'm saying? See what I'm saying? Because she was a Jezebel. Ain't nobody ever seen Jezebel in this generation. You ain't that old. And I know a lot of men that mess around with ugly women. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Because the makeup doesn't say it's just lust in people's lives that's doing that kind of stuff. Now, when you understand that, we must become a holy and hallowing society by studying his life and actions. So let me say it again. I study him, what he says, by following him. And then by following him, I understand what I've studied. First I study, and then the action of the study comes by following him. Now I understand what I study. Did y'all get that? Do y'all understand what I'm saying? Am I a little too deep for you this morning? Okay, good. Get the train off your mind. Praise God. Hallelujah. When you understand that, then I saw he didn't have a financial deficit. Ron, I thought, well, my God. Then I began to equate him to the other disciples. I said, well, Peter had financial trouble, and Paul had financial trouble. St. John had financial trouble. St. Jude had financial trouble. Now, when the church picked up on that, all of us got to have financial trouble. Wrong. It didn't say follow them. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Now, Paul shows us why all of them struggle. Now, I have to say this, and you've heard me say it but again. God tried to bless the Apostle Paul. He was a great man. I mean, but he was a worker. You see, he was brilliant, brilliant. Sat at the feet of Gamaliel, which means he was a theological expert when it comes to the law of the tribe of Benjamin. He even took the Nazirite vow. I mean, this man was something. But when you look at him, and you know, he said, I'll just take care of myself. He reminded me of me. I'll just take care of myself. And you know, I'll just go on it. And so God wanted to bless him. God wanted to just bless the man. So God wanted to give him an offering. You know what he says? No. I make tents. I work with my own hands. And that's a wonderful thing. If you're not a worker, you're a lazy puppet. That's all I can say. You should work. You see what I mean? Laziness. I hate laziness with a passion. Watch it. But I work with my own hands. I don't need nothing. Because he said, I will just make it. See, what he was saying was, I didn't need God. I could do that myself. Now, you know what? And he got in trouble. But then in the next epistle, he changes it. And I love the words he says. He said, I did you a disservice. You people that criticize ministers for taking an offering. If we don't, look at me. If we don't, we are doing people a disservice. Yes. Now, I'm not trying to get something from them, but trying to get something to them. Let me say that again. Not trying to get something from them, but trying to get something to them. He said, I did you a disservice. Because I did not receive from you. You shut down a harvest. But he said, but now I have received from Epaphroditus the things you sent me. Then he says this, I'm full. I'm abound. And I have all. All's pretty good. When you got all, there ain't no more. Right? See what I'm saying? When you understand that. And then we understand why Jesus never had a financial deficit. They tried to stop the lady from putting oil on his feet. Don't they know this oil should have been so given to the poor? No, they all got some homiletical, hermeneutical, philosophical, theological reason for that, which is diddly squat. I don't know what diddly squat is, but figure it out. I mean, it's craziness. That's why I receive. Now, there's some time, now I'm going to be honest with you, I don't want to receive. Well, because somebody's giving me something, they ain't got nothing. And I want to go, oh, Jesus. No. And the Lord said, do not stop their harvest. Yes. Now, to do that, you have to be holy. Holiness is a part of that. Let me say it again. We must become a holy and hallowing society by studying his life and actions. Faith without works is dead. You know what I did in Canada? I was in Canada last week. The Lord spoke to me to pray for women who couldn't have babies. Boy, a bunch of them come up there. Sweet people. Nice. Some were old, middle-aged. It don't make a difference to God. It makes a difference to mankind, you know. To God, a womb's a womb. I don't care if it's 90 years old or 100 years old or 20 years old. He's talking about a creator here who can handle anything. Now, everybody freaked out when I said that. When I all prayed for them, I said, well, now, faith without works is dead. I said, where's your husbands? So the husband, I said, husbands, come up here. They come up there. I said, now, go home. Do your thing. I was serious as I could be. People go, oh. I said, What's your problem? That's how you have a baby. I said, don't have a baby. Don't try to make a baby. Have a baby. So that's why people that can't ever, you ever notice people, I mean, they just, oh, temperature, all right, run on, ooh, you know, make sure this is the right time, oh, and all that kind, and just get people under stress like crazy. Finally, they'll just adopt somebody, and they find themselves pregnant within 3 months after the adoption. Why? Got the stress off. I said, I looked at them. They were just, I said, go home. Bye. One man said, come here, mama. Let's go. Tell you why. Okay. Okay. Why? Because it was a holy thing. Be fruitful. Oh, man. See, instead of you thinking sexual, we thinking obedience to God Almighty. That's holiness. That's how you imitate God. Now, let's deal with the second part of imitating God. That's wisdom. Now, what is wisdom? Wisdom is the ability to use knowledge. They have a lot of people that have knowledge but no wisdom. I love this month's partner offer, Four Ways to Imitate God. I often say, the only Jesus some people may ever see is the Jesus in you or the Jesus in me. We should be examples of Christ with the fragrance of God on us and flowing through us. Get your copy at jdm.org and start walking in God's great love and power. It's for you. Get it today. Do you know that every born-again believer has a God-given right to receive overwhelming blessings from God? In my book, Overwhelmed, you'll be challenged to say no to limited thinking by understanding all that belongs to you.
It's your birthright to experience overwhelming favor in every area of your life. Order your physical copy or digital download for your donation of $5 or more at jdm.org.
It's time to be overwhelmed in a good way by God's power. Get your copy and be blessed. I hope the message you watched today really blessed you, because it blessed me. Remember something. You are an imitator of God, and you have a fragrance of God on you. Oh, and that's, can you smell yourself? And not bad. That's the fragrance of God. Well, how do I imitate God like that, Brother Jesse? Number one, holiness. Number two, wisdom. And number three, power. And number four, love. And above, love is the most amazing thing in the world. It will grow you and develop you to come to the fullness of the stature of Christ. I'm telling you, it will bless you greatly. Those four things, I'm telling you. And you can imitate God because God said we could. You know, a person sent a wonderful question in. Her name was Jeannie. She wrote this, Jesse, I've heard you say that our spirit is the purest part of who we are. Can you please explain that to me? Yes, I can, Jeannie. Your spirit is where God Almighty resides. You are his condo. Call it what you want. His, you're his second house, you know, on the earth. He lives there. And that's one of the most amazing things. And from there, direction in life comes through a renewed mind and a crucified body. Oh, it's wonderful. See, and it's alive. Take the spirit out of a man, he dies. Or a woman, they die. The spirits would keep you going. Not the brain, not the heart. That's just biological functions and body fat. That spirit is such a blessing. And how many times have you seen people that were totally brain dead? And yet, watch this, their spirit was gone. And they could keep them alive with machines, but they wasn't there. As soon as you pull a machine, they went. Why? It's the spirit that makes you live and breathe. Listen, our product offer. It's my new book entitled Overwhelmed. You as a born-again believer, you have a God-given right to receive an overwhelming blessings from God. He overwhelms me with his goodness every day. And you know what? He's no respecter of person. He wants to overwhelm you today. Get this book. Go to jdm.org for all the ordering information. Partners, thank you once again. Your faithful financial support is so vitally important to reach people and change lives. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You've done so much for our ministry. I tell you, we're about ready to go off the air, and I'm going to get somebody saved with your donation today. That's what we do at this ministry, and we get them healed and blessed. Till next week, Jesse said, I love you. I really do. Bye-bye.
Look at that. That's the words of Jesus. See, Jesse Planet's Ministries has one driving passion, one thing we ask in Jesus' name: to be empowered and equipped above and beyond to effectively share God's message of salvation with the entire world. We want everyone to have an opportunity to know the real Jesus, approachable, personable, compassionate, and full of joy. That's the truth that we put on full display and invite countless others to know for themselves. We know He'll do everything and more. Why? Because we believe it, leading us to do the impossible for His glory. God called me to go. He said, "Go ye," and I go. And sent people to link up in faith with the vision. That's you sending me to do the work. We are running further and faster than ever, infused with supernatural energy, shining the light of the gospel, seizing every divine opportunity. We're advancing and cutting through barriers to reach people right where they are. What shall I do for thee? Ask God for something unbelievable, something impossible. And you know what God will do? He'll walk off that throne and go get that thing for you. You know, God is the creator, and we should be creators too. In my book, Notes from a Vision Specialist, I reveal some of my vision impacting experiences so that you can make your vision real God's way. God wants you blessed and excited about your future. Order Notes from a Vision Specialist and decide to make the vision real.
Order your physical copy or digital download for your donation amount of $5 or more at jdm.org.
To become a superhero, your faith has to go against traditions and the status quo. Or this: we tried that and it didn't work. Well, it doesn't matter whether you tried it or not. Well, who do you think you are? Get ready for criticism. Because see, you're going against tradition and you're going against the status quo. You can't do that. You can't do this, but God says you can.
Thank you for watching today. For more information about Jesse Duplantis Ministries, go to jdm.org.